Well, today is a good day to be here. How's everybody doing? You guys are all doing well. We're starting a new series, a new theme for our new year. And for those of you that were here last week, Pastor Ken shared what it was. And the theme is press on. Press on. Can we have that image up there? The whole idea behind it is, from last year, our theme was start, and then we continue on into this year by not only starting, but actually pressing on and continuing of what God wants us to accomplish and what he wants us to do. And I hope you have started a lot of things last year. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you're to start this year. I've started a lot of great things, and one of the things that I've started to do for myself personally was I started to be more active and more exercise. So it took me a few months to actually start because I wanted to start at the beginning of the year, but then it was about March time that I actually started. And I started cycling. I don't know if we have any cyclers in the room, but when I say cycling, I don't say cycling outside in a cold minus 20 weather, because I know some people actually do that. And those people, I commend you for that. That's wonderful. I wouldn't be able to do it. After all, I'm European, and I hate cold. But cycling in the house, and anyhow, just to speed up the process, in the beginning, it was hard, first few days. Then at one point, I was on a streak for about 3.5 months, just going every single day at it. And usually the exercise is about 20 to 30 minutes long, or maybe sometimes less. But as I was doing it, there were so many times that I wanted to give up. Especially when you started and you got time, you're like, and then I'm looking at the clock and it's counting down. And then there's some rides that they have in this program where you, they call them the climbs. And then, you get the resistance up, and then you start climbing the hill with the bike. And those are really hard, but very good. And I've done well. I've been on a streak for a long time. Then I fell off the wagon a little bit going on a vacation, and then I'm back at it too. But that's something that I do for myself. And this whole theme that Pastor Ken was sharing with us about pressing on, really in many areas of our life, I believe we all have something that we need to press on in. And I really believe that every mission that God gives us and every task that we have in life will require you to do one thing, and that is to press on. Galatians 6:9 says this: let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap our harvest if we do not give up. So the title of my message this morning is Don't Quit Now. You've come a long way. You've started this thing. You have done a lot already. God has blessed you already. God has provided for you. God has been there for you. Now is not the time to quit. Now is the time to keep pressing on. And I shared last week a bit about what pressing on is. Pressing on is to continue to move forward in a forceful or a steady way, to continue to do something in a very determined way. So I've come down to realize two types of people in this world: people that press on and people that easily give up. I definitely want to be on the other side: people that press on, people that don't give up. And we're familiar with new resolutions that a lot of people come up with at the beginning of the year. You know, I want to do this, and I want to do that, I want to do this. And then they start doing something, and then maybe a few months go by, and then they fall off the wagon, and then it's like, you know, I haven't really pressed in what I was to do. And someone once said about exercise, I just read this funny meme that I just keep popping up every new year going online. It says someone once said that exercise gives you energy, but you need energy to exercise. Sounds like a pyramid scheme to me. And, that's really it. You know, you need energy to exercise. But you need to actually first build the energy up if you want to exercise. Anyhow, In the scripture, there's a lot of examples of different people and different great men of God and women of God that have endured and they have pressed on in their faith journey. And Apostle Paul himself describes our life as a race. When I was going through some of the stuff that Apostle Paul wrote, it looks like the guy really enjoyed sports. Even though they didn't have cable or TV or anything like that, he was really into sports. And he was using the illustration of runners and racing as to tell us that this is how life is. It's like you are in a race. Now, did you know that you are in a race? Did you know that you're in a race and God has set and he has prepared a race for you to run and you're in it right now? And as soon as you realize that you're in a race, sooner your life is going to start making a lot more sense and you're going to have a lot more purpose about what this is all about. Someone once said, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. That's right. So we are to keep on moving forward. We are to press on, and we are not to give up. Apostle Paul also wrote in his epistle saying that sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is not, and the flesh wants to give up easily. And I want to just start with this one verse in Ecclesiastes 7:8 that Solomon wrote. And if you don't know who Solomon is, he was one of the wisest men that ever lived on this earth, besides Jesus, who had a lot of wisdom, wrote the book of Proverbs. He wrote a lot of amazing things that we even read nowadays, and we're like, wow, it's so deep, so amazing. But he was the guy who, because he had so much wisdom, and he was rich, and he built the temple, and everybody loved him so much, there was a time of his life that he just, he fell off the wagon. That's the term that I can use. He threw in a towel when it comes to spirituality and following what his father David told him to do. And he gave his life to lusts and desires of this world and women. He had like so many wives, the Bible tells us. And even though he had so much wisdom and he wrote all these amazing things, he still wasn't able to keep straight with the commandments of God. He wasn't able to follow what God intended him for him to do. And then at the end of his life, some of the theologians believe that he actually came around and that the book of Ecclesiastes that he wrote is all about like what's the meaning of life? Everything is meaningless unless you give your life to God. Everything is meaningless. And he wrote this, and I just want to read it. Just want to encourage you this morning. This is what he said. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. And patience is better than pride. The end is better than the beginning. Now, listen. Starting is great and it has to happen. And we all have to start and we have to begin something. But the end is better. But then there's a journey in between start and the end. The gap. And in that journey called life, in order for you to arrive at the end, you have to continue to press on, and move forward. And this morning, I want to ask you a question. Have you thought about giving up when it comes to something in your life? Relationships, project, job, life, spiritual walk, marriage. Have you already given up? And I really believe that as we press forward through the pressures and adversities of life, we become more of what God intended for us to be in the first place. As we press on, I believe, God presses on as well. And the scripture tells us, as we draw close to God, he draws close to us. So whatever breakthrough we need in our life, in our circumstances, day-to-day lives, comes as we press on. Whatever it is, as we press on, we'll see God move. And so many examples of things falling apart where people did not press on. And when people just decided, as the world tells us, the saying that goes in the world is they just threw in a towel and they just gave up. There's so much more that can happen as we continue to press on. And when I'm down and facing adversity and discouraged, and when I go through adversities, which we all do, and storms of life, I like to drink my favorite coffee. And you know what my favorite coffee is? It's called Hebrews. It's a Christian joke that goes around. You know? It's a coffee that God makes, and it's a really good coffee. It's called Hebrews. Now, Hebrews 11 and 12 are the chapters that will help you when you're down and discouraged. If you go to those chapters, you will be encouraged to press on. And I'm going to focus on the second part of this, chapter 12, the first few verses. But the big part of that chapter is chapter 11, which I'll mention in some of the points I'm trying to make here. But when you feel discouraged, when you're at the end of your rope and you're feeling like giving up, you go to Hebrews. You drink some of that coffee and you see what happens. Now let's read this. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. This is what he says. Therefore, when he says in the Bible, therefore, you need to know what it's there for. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on who? On Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him when you're down, when you want to give up. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Or in another translation, so that you will not grow weary and give up. That you will not give up. So, a lot of theologians believe that Luke wrote this. But then there's some speculation that Apostle Paul wrote this book as well. And I'm of a mind that Apostle Paul wrote it because he's using the same language and same analogies that other books are using. And I'm not here to determine who wrote the book. It doesn't really matter. God wrote it. Use a person. But the whole analogy of sports, and we can see that he's talking about the race and running the race with endurance, perseverance in this text right here. So he says, we're all in a race, the race that God has set before us, and this race is not like any other race. This is a different type of race. It's called the race of life, and it's more like, I don't know if any of you, you're probably familiar with the show called The Amazing Race. Anybody? I was going to say The Amazing Grace. That's a good movie too. But The Amazing Race, and you need The Amazing Grace for The Amazing Race for sure. But The Amazing Grace is a great show that I haven't watched in a long time. But I remember when I was watching back in the day, it's like obstacles, things to figure out, twists and turns, and then there's mountains to climb, and there's all this stuff that come at you. Some cases even like there were some rivers and waters they had to swim in, and the path wasn't always straight. There was always things that happened, and that's what Christian life, and that's what is more like when we think about this race that Apostle Paul is talking about. In this race, the road is not always smooth. And it takes focus, persistence, and it takes courage to press on, to not give up. And the Amazing Race right now is in a season 34. That's a long time that it's been going on for. But I looked up some of the recent titles, and the recent titles went something like this. Step by step, don't look down. How am I going to survive this? The only leg that matters. And then there's a lot of other titles, and I thought to myself, I can use some of these titles. They look for some of my future sermons. But the amazing race and the goal of the race is they have to go through all this, all these things to get to the end to receive the prize. And when I watched that show back in the day, what really mattered a lot in that whole process, obviously the mindset and the pressing on, but also what also mattered a lot was the people that they were running the race with. And that's really important in our life, to choose the right people to run the race with us. And I'll talk about more about that soon. So it came down to their mindset, what they believed, whether they were focused, and whether they were able to endure. And did you know that we all will be judged by our faithfulness, by our endurance? The first thing that the master told his servant when he came to reward him, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant," in Matthew, "you have been faithful with many things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." So you and I will be judged by endurance and how we were able to press on. So here's four things I want to share with you really quick about not giving up. To not quit now, you will have to do these four things. And they're all in this text, which is going to go through them really quick. And I just want to encourage you this morning, because we're all on different paths. We're all different journeys. We all have things that we need to press on in. We all have things and experiences that we need to push through. But this is a message of faith that we all need to hear. So the first thing that we need to do is simply this. Look at the greats. Look at the greats. Now, who are the greats? It says here in the scripture, it says, "You have been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." Did you know? This might be a new thing that you haven't known, or maybe you do know. But did you know that you're surrounded by a cloud? And in that cloud are the witnesses, all the saints that have come before you, that have been there before you. All those, the winners, people that have had the race of life, they had to run. People that have endured, people that have faced opposition, but they had to have faith. People that have went through hardships and difficulties, but they had faith to endure. In a scripture, just previous to the chapter 12, chapter 11 talks a lot about those witnesses. Talks a lot about Noah, who was ridiculed and made fun of because he was building a boat in the middle of a dry, and there was no storms and no rain. And then talking about Moses and Abraham and what he had to go through, and talking about all these greats that by faith pressed on in the call that God had for them. Abraham is an example, going into the unknown. "What are you doing?" "I don't know. I'm just following what God is telling me to do." "You're crazy. Why would you do that?" "I'm just trusting God." Then from all the Old Testament greats to all the New Testament greats, one of them being Apostle Paul himself, who said, "And you should imitate me just as I imitated Christ," who looked to Christ, and we are to look to Christ as well. So there's a lot of greats in a scripture that we can look to if we need encouragement to press on. There's a lot of examples of those that have won the race. So did you know that in your darkest moments, when you're struggling down, when you're going through a really tough, tough situation, when you are feeling like everything is falling apart and you're about to give up and you don't, every expectation that you had, every disappointment, everything is just come at you all at once like a perfect storm. Did you know that at that time, as you're about to give up, there's witnesses and there's a cloud and they are believing in you. And they're saying, almost saying, "Come on, don't quit now. You can do it. I've been there. You can do it. Just keep moving forward." There's witnesses and hundreds and thousands of them. They're watching us go through this life. The scripture also talks about the angels. a lot of scriptures about angels, but one of the scriptures that really came to my mind is Psalm 191:11. It says this, "For he, God himself, will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways." In the spiritual realm, there is angels right now watching you and cheering you on, wanting you to win, to push through, to press on, to not give up. Wow, if you just become aware of that in your own life, that there's witnesses, the cloud of witnesses, and it's all these great men of God. I'm even thinking about my dad and all these great, my grandfather who was so spiritual and grandmother who was praying for me and all these great witnesses watching and cheering us on. And they want us to keep pressing on. So look at the witnesses. The second thing you have to do is you need to look at yourself. The second part of this verse, it says, casting off, or let's just read this, throwing off everything that hinders you, everything that hinders us, and the sin that so easily entangles. So we need to look at ourselves, and we need to, like in 1 Corinthians 9:27, Apostle Paul said this, "I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." There is this process of us looking to ourselves and self-evaluate ourselves in our life and have self-awareness, saying to ourselves, what is it there in my life right now that is not helping me get to where I need to get? And what is it, what's there in my life right now that I need to start doing to help me get where I need to get? Self-awareness, that's the first step to change. Any type of change that we want to, it's you waking up in the mirror, or you going to the mirror, and you're looking at yourself and saying to yourself, you're the only person I can change. And really be down, honest with yourself and saying, I need to change this. I need to stop doing this. I need to start doing this and this and this. And it's never been about perfection, because nobody's perfect. It's about growth, and it's about willingness to grow and become more like Jesus every day. That's why he was talking about personal discipline, but I'm talking about discipline not only for our body, but discipline for us, for our spirit, like spiritual practices, disciplines. There is things that we do, we teach in class 201, which is reading the Bible, meditating, praying, like all these different practices that we as Christians have to practice. There's things that weigh us down. We don't even realize they weigh us down. But they're the things that are in a way for us to press on and press forward. What are those things? It can also be things like distractions. And it's easy to get distracted nowadays. We waste our time on so many things, especially in this world that we live in today. Distractions are not getting us anywhere. And the enemy is not concerned about what you're distracted with. He just wants you to be distracted. Just to be busy with something so that you don't pay attention to what you actually should be paying attention to. Distractions, where you put your time, what you put your time in, where you spend your time with, who you spend your time with, people. Then distractions like dwelling in the past, living in the past. Like, oh, what if this and what if that should have, it could have been like this and could have been living that that movie of the living in the past. And then sin. It could be anything that we're doing right now that's not pleasing to God. And something that we may be struggling with that we actually may need help with. And the scripture tells us that if we find or see someone that's in sin, that we are to come alongside and help that believer. And then if they don't listen, to bring another brother to witness. And then if they don't listen, then to bring the church leadership in. And then if they don't listen even then, to just let them go. But there is a process of us to overcome sin, addictions, things that we go through in this life. And things that weigh us down and are actually an obstacle for us to move forward into what God has for us. You know, look at a sport, for example. I look at the cyclists. I look at the people that run. I look at even a good example would be a mountain climber. When they climb the mountain, They know they're about to embark a journey. They carry a backpack, but only essentials go in a backpack because they know that that backpack, if it gets too heavy, they're not going to be able to accomplish what they need to accomplish. So we need to look at ourselves and really be honest with ourselves. You know, we can lie to ourselves. You know, if you're alone in your room thinking about stuff and life, you can lie to yourself, but you can't lie to God. God knows everything about you. He knows everything that you need to deal with. He knows if in your heart you have bitterness, unforgiveness, if you have things and sins and things that you need to deal with. Just be honest. Look at yourself. Look at your life and say, you know, I need to deal with this. I need to tackle this. I need to get help in this area. I need to get help in this, whatever. Whatever it is that you need to do, look at yourself. And then you'll be able to press on. Because if you don't look at yourself and you're just like, yeah, I'm just going to keep going. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. Let's go to the thing number three that we can find in scripture here. Look to the end. The end. What is the end? The end is the prize that awaits all of the runners. In all the sports, there is a prize. And teams, then they play, and then they play the playoffs. It is all about the prize. It is where all the preparation goes to. It is all the things that they think about. It is the prize. Nobody's just playing the sports, professional sports, or anything else that's just to play them. Everybody wants the prize. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not know that in a race, all of the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize, Apostle Paul says. So it's about this perception, looking at the prize, looking to the end. And a lot of people live, oh, I'm just living today, you know, whatever, just today, whatever. Day well lived. If I had a good day, that yes, we have to do. We have to be present in the moment. We have to be fully dedicated, and we have to, you know, spend time with Jesus daily and not worry too much about the future. But we need to understand that there is a prize that awaits us as we're running this race of life. That if we press on, there's going to be something. And I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation is a free gift. We don't have to work for salvation. It's something that's been given to us as we put our faith and trust in Jesus. It is a prize that awaits all of the believers that press on and endure in this life. We've met with some of the, our staff has met with some of the insurance people. And did you know that you cannot get insurance past the age of 69 anymore? Health insurance, life insurance. So that means that if you're past 69, you're past your expiration date. We were just laughing it off in the office. We were talking. Pastor Ken was obviously sitting there with us. We were just joking around. I said, Pastor Ken, you're past your expiration date. There's no insurance for you. You're on your own. If anything happens, you know. But, man, the way that the world paints the picture, you know, if you're past 69, it's over. You're at the mercy of God. But I'm thinking to myself, this life, and however short it is for us and however long it is for us, man, we got something to look forward to. We got something ahead of us to focus on and say there's a prize that's awaiting us. And it's this crown, the crown of righteousness that God has for all of the saints. See, there's a prize for those that have lived well. They have run the race. They have fought to the end. And that's what it says in Philippians 3:14, our verse for the theme. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says in the 2 Corinthians, he says this, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in this body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in this body, whether good or bad. So, there is a prize that awaits us. And in 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul also writes, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. Therefore, I'm going to inherit the crown of righteousness, which the Lord himself shall give me that day. Not only to me, but to all of those that have been faithful till the end. So there is a prize, and we are to look to that, and we are to rejoice about that. And if you feel like giving up, you can tell yourself, you know what, there's a prize. I'm going to keep running this race. Whatever days that God has given me, even after the age of 69, my expiration date, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep pressing on. If I live to 100, perfect. But even what I do from 69 to 100 matters. It matters. So those are the three things. And then the fourth thing I want to share with you in this text, it says this. Fix your eyes at who? At Jesus. So this is what this scripture is refreshing. Now, if you notice, I said the first three points were look, look, look. And the fourth one is fix your eyes. Because in the scripture here it says, and let us run with endurance, perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And when you fix your eyes on Jesus, no matter what obstacle you face in your life, you will have hope. And you will not want to give up. He's the one who started, he's the one who finished it. See, Jesus is not only our Savior, he's our Lord as well. And the reason he came down to this earth is to show us that you can go through pain and suffering and you can experience all these different emotions like he did, anger and grief and sadness and all the things that he has experienced, but he had pressed through those things as well. He went places. He showed us that it's possible. And did you know that at the end of Jesus' life, he had a prayer in the garden? And if you're not familiar with the prayer, it goes something along these lines. God, if you can take this cup away from me. Which, in other words, that goes with our theme. God, if I could just give up now. I just want to give up. I want to give up. I don't want to carry this. It's too much for me. I can't handle it. I give up. But thankfully, the prayer didn't end there. He continued on and said, God, I give up, but I'm going to press on because whatever is your will, whatever is your way for me, I'm going to do. So Jesus continued to press on. And that's why we can have hope, because he endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him, the prize, the amazing life, the forgiveness, the future with all of us. He went to that cross for me and you. So when he had experienced the weight and the pressure, he didn't give in. He didn't give up. And that's why we should prioritize above all else to fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, there's something about looking at something, and there's something about fixing your eyes at something. There's a huge difference there, you know. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where someone was just staring at you and it's very uncomfortable. Have you ever been in that situation? Someone just fixed and just staring at you. And you're like, oh, they're looking at me. I don't want to turn because I don't want to make an eye contact. It's just so weird right now, you know. And just staring, and they've just got their eyes fixed on you. But they're probably thinking about like food or whatever else. But they're just staring at you, right? It's like that fixing. And that's exactly it, fixation. And they're so fixated. So as we're fixated on Christ and his work and what he has done for us, we'll be able to endure any storm of life, any disappointment, any pressure, any circumstance, because ultimately he's the one who has the power to take us from point A to point B, from the start line to the finish line, because of his faith. Because his death and resurrection has given us hope. And then when he left, he said, listen, guys, you know, I persevered, I pressed on, but I'm going to send you the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to help you as well to persevere, to press on, and not to give up. Wow. What a promise. And if you're someone that's maybe in a storm right now, you're going through a hard time, hardship, difficulty, whatever, you can just remember Jesus. You can look to Jesus for encouragement. You can ask God to give you the encouragement that you need to keep going. And not just throw in a towel because life is hard. Life is hard. Life is hard. But it's easier with Jesus in your life. It's easier with the Holy Spirit in you. You just allow your focus to shift from all the problems of life to the cross and to Jesus. And then your faith just goes to the next level. You are encouraged, and you can move forward into all that God has for you. Once you shift your focus, you will experience a breakthrough as you press on. Amen. And I just want to end with this story because I'm a lover of sports. I love sports, and I'm so happy that Apostle Paul loved sports too, and he was using all of his examples with sports. So I can use that. It's a good excuse for me to use a sports example. But there was a big game last night. I'll just bring it up. The team was down 27-0. They came back and they won. Great story. But then, because I love basketball, we got a lot of people in our house that love basketball. I just love watching when a team is down like by 20 points in the fourth quarter, there's a couple of minutes left, and somehow, somewhere, this team comes back and wins the game. Have you ever seen that before? It's happened many times, many, many times. And sometimes the camera angle will shift and show and focus on the team, and your coach is going to be there, and he's going to encourage. And you know what I'm thinking? Like, you just see the mouth moving, right? Sometimes you hear, they have the mic for the coach, and you can hear what they're saying. But the only thing that I believe, the one message that every coach has for their team when they're down by 20 or 30 or whatever, and it's nearing the end of the game, is don't give up now. Press on. Keep moving forward. Just do it. I know you can do it. I believe in you. And the guys are like lost all the confidence, and they just want to give up. They're so tired. And it's usually those last few minutes of the game that matter the most, that you press through, right? Press on. And then you see these guys coming out of the timeout. They're like, yes, we're going to do this. And they do it. They do the impossible. A miracle happens. Now, I'm just using sports for us to understand this as an example. But whether it's in your spiritual life and whatever it is, you might be 20 points down and you're like, I can't do this anymore. I'm too tired. I'm overwhelmed. It's too much for me. I just want to encourage you to say, no, just keep, don't quit now. You've come all this way. You've come all this way to quit. All the preparation, all the time, all the effort, all the games you've played of life, and God has helped you over and over and over again, and you come to this point, you're like, I'm done. I'm giving up. Don't quit now. Because there is a miracle, and there's a change, and there's a breakthrough just around the corner. Keep pressing on. Just keep pressing on. Amen? Why don't we just all stand? I want to pray for you this morning. That you would continue to press on in whatever God has for you, personally, for your life, for your family. You know, as a parent, I don't have an option to give up on my kids, ever. I just don't have that option. I know some parents might have given up on their kids because of whatever. I have a responsibility as a parent to never give up on my kids, no matter what they're going through. Did you know that God has the same heart towards you? God doesn't want you to give up. He's never not going to give up on you either. You may think, well, God has given up on me. You know, I wouldn't be here, you know, if God didn't give up on me. No, no, no. God never gives up on his children. We never give up on his children, so God doesn't give up on us. So I believe to translate that into a Christian life, we can give up in our Christian walk, and we can give up because, you know, we got one storm and this thing hit us and you are in the perfect storm and all these things have happened. You can say, you know what, I'm just going to give up. But I believe deep down that you have a responsibility as a Christian to just keep pressing on. Because as you focus on Christ and what he has done for you, man, just focus on that one thing. And yes, you can be encouraged. You go to Hebrews 11 and just read that whole chapter again and again and again until it settles in your heart. Say, I can have faith and I can have trust and I can believe. I can press on. Don't quit, because God doesn't give up. He doesn't quit on his children. And he won't give up on you. So if you want to be included in this prayer, just raise your hand as a sign. And I want to pray for you. Father God, this morning, as the 2023 is rolling on, we pray over us and over this church and over everyone that's here and everyone that's watching online. We pray that we would not be the people that would give up and throw in a towel, but that we would be the people that will press on, that will not quit, but we would fix our eyes on Jesus. Father, in every situation, in every storm, may we always fix our eyes on you. Just like Peter when he was coming off that boat. And then he was walking towards you as he was fixated on you. But then he focused on the storm and then he started going under. I pray that we would never, never take our eyes off of you, Jesus. And that we would always be focused on you. That we would always put our faith and our trust and our hope in you. And that we would never give up, in Jesus' name. Every person here in this room, I pray you would encourage them deep down in their heart to know that you're for them and you have not given up on them. So we will not give up. We will press on to receive the prize that comes from you, Jesus. We thank you and we praise you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.